Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. What an epic trip.
Tell me about it.
Oh, man. First of all, Montana, gorgeous. Get in there on Friday. My buddy, Dr. Pete, picks me up at the airport. He's already got our rental car. Throw all our gear in the back. We go to Bridger Bowl, which is the local mountain to Bozeman, about a half hour outside of Bozeman. Old school mountain, old school lifts, but like 75 runs. Pretty difficult terrain. I think I read it's in the top 10% of difficult terrain in the country. Half day of snowboarding down to Bozeman. Last Best Comedy, two shows back to back, 7 and 9 o'clock. Crushed it. Great little club. Super fun town, Bozeman. Like, Bozeman's cool, man. A lot of people move in there. I mean, if you watch Yellowstone, like the joke about like, oh, it's becoming all fucking hip. Like, it's a Patagonia bonanza down there.
I started watching it this weekend, actually.
Yeah, you just started?
We're 5 or 6 episodes in. Really good show.
It's good. The first 2 seasons are great. It falls off a cliff after that. But once you're in the world, next thing you know, you'll be watching 1883 and 1923. I'm sure 1973 or whatever's after that. Yeah, but it's definitely, it seems like it's one of those places for the outdoorsy, want to get away from California folk, that Montana is one of the spots. So talk to a bunch of people on the show, folks from California, whatever, but cool little town, definitely up and coming. Shows were amazing. Got up the next day, shout out to Big Sky. What a resort. Holy shit. A mountain. Like massive. We had 2 full days of riding and skiing at Big Sky. I mean, we maybe got 10% of the runs in. I mean, it's so big. It's massive. It's multiple mountains. Super fun. You know, just like I'm an old man now. Like, then we went to Bridger Bowl yesterday, another half day, 4 straight days on a snowboard. I mean, I'm waking up every day sore, buying the packets of ibuprofen in the lobby of the hotel, but just awesome. You know how it goes. I mean, I don't know. Do you ski at all?
I've only skied once.
Okay. So for like skiers and snowboarders out there, like it's just awesome to have a couple days where you do the standard, get up early, get yourself some hotel breakfast, get out on the mountain, have a whole day, have a beer and a burger or beer and a sausage at lunch mid mountain, come back down, get in the hot tub, you know, soak those old bones, go upstairs, have a shower, go out and have a Montana steak dinner. You know, it's pretty good little regimen for a couple of days if you can afford it.
Is that why you're wearing the Bill Walton shirt? You were in the great outdoors.
No, I just I went into my closet this morning and you know, my I took a shower last night. I went straight from snowboarding yesterday to taking all of my wet clothes off and throwing them in my board bag and changing and getting on a flight. Probably the guy who sat next to me was probably like, this guy smells like hot garbage. But so I took a shower when I got home last night, had a bit wild hair this morning. So I picked out this Tortuga hat, courtesy of a dirt ball. And then I was like, oh, Bill Walton shirt will go nice with that. So here we are.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an incredible shout out. Apparently not a lot of dirt balls in Montana, but shout out to Jackson who came out, the lone Montana dirt ball. Unless other dirt balls came and didn't say hello. I think it was just a one dirt ball show.
No John Dutton. You didn't see John Dutton in the audience?
No John Dutton.
Anybody with the branding, the Y branding in the audience?
We went to a ranch steakhouse on Sunday night, Buck's Steakhouse, and I learned all about branding and like why brands look the way they are and, you know, what all the markings on a brand mean. So that was my branding experience.
Now, Montana's beautiful. I've been there, but man, I know it can get so cold.
It was, it was cold. And at night when you get in the car to go out to dinner, you're like, oh, it's fuck, get the heat on. But during the day, you know, you're looking at high 20s, low 30s, but you're in the sun and you're doing, you know, you're doing runs. Like, I was never cold on the mountain.
Any Phil Jackson sighting out there?
No Phil Jackson sightings. When you're on the backside of Big Sky, you face the Yellowstone Club, which is a fairly new private ski club. And apparently Tom Brady is a member. There's actually a run called Quarterback Sneak. I think that's Tom Brady's favorite run. So I was trying to spot Brady. And I know our boy. We have a friend who works with Justin Timberlake. So I was looking, he has a house there. I was looking out for Timberlake.
Yeah, that seems to be the spot now. Right? Like everybody's always talking about Montana, which is hilarious because it's been there forever.
Yeah.
Like it just became a thing over the last 10 years.
Well, that's so I've been promoting obviously Last Best Comedy, and I found out there's a lot of Last Best there because the unofficial state nickname for Montana is Last Best Place. It's the last best place.
Interesting. I like it. That's cool, man. Well, yeah. Glad you had a good trip. It really is. It really is just beautiful country out there. And I've only been there once, and I haven't seen, you know, it's a whole thing to explore. I'm sure the whole state, because there's just so much to it.
Yeah.
And now that I'm into Yellowstone, makes me want to go back and maybe murder somebody.
Yeah.
No. Did we just get demonetized? Did YouTube just demonetize us?
I don't know. I don't know how all that works.
I don't
know.
Are
you allowed to say the word? Are you allowed to say the M word? I think it's unalive someone. That's what all the streamers say.
Yeah. Well, you got an extra day of a little vacay and we'll hop into some things. Obviously gave an extra day for.
Well, I said to you yesterday, I was like, listen, we could probably try to like sneak one in, but then that'll crush my potential of getting a half day in at Bridger Bowl to close the place. So I was like, can we do Tuesday? And then it just worked out perfectly. I mean, Monday is when the negotiating period for free agency begins. So suddenly we have a day of NFL free agency news. Otherwise, yesterday we would have done the show, and then we would have all this stuff on Thursday. So it kind of worked out perfectly. You're welcome is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I know you planned that perfectly. It worked out in your favor. We will get to the NFL free agency. I am going to use a YouTube comment section I have learned through you. We can put these on the screen because actually I am curious if you know. Can you see this? We have Hall of Fame Dirtball Benangi. What is the background on branding? I'm actually curious as well.
Well, so, I mean, I assume the background on branding, this was not part of the history of branding that I read, but obviously the background on branding is when you have a huge ranch like that, you know, there's not really, back in the day, certainly, you're not putting up fence around your million acre ranch in Montana. So you would brand your cattle so that if they roam, you know, you're like, these are my cattle. These are your cattle. Right. So the branding is to just, you know, put ownership on your cattle instead of a collar. You know, you're not going to make a collar for all of them like they're dogs. So you just get the hot poker and you brand them. But what I learned was there's tons of different styles of brand, and like there's, you know, you if you look at brands, a lot of them, like if you look at the Yellowstone brand in the show, it's a Y, but it's got a sort of a half circle underneath it. And I was reading all about half circles on the bottom and what those mean, half circles on the top. And actually, it didn't even say what they meant. It just said, like, these, this is what this is called and this is what this is called. But basically, a standard brand will be some sort of lettering that matches your ranch, and then these markings, either a circle or a diamond or a half dome or a half base. And so I was like, okay, that makes sense, because obviously the brand we know now, the famous Yellowstone brand, is the Y with the half circle underneath. I was at this Bucks, Tam something Bucks, so it was TB. That was their brand. So
what about Elton Brand? Where's the Elton Brand?
Elton Brand. That's a good, that's a good question.
Where does Elton Brand go in the Yellowstone branding?
Yeah. I guess he'd be EB. Maybe a top circle for the basketball.
Is it a picture of his face?
Sure. It's almost always, it's almost always the letter.
Gotcha. Okay. It is interesting that, that somebody would come up with that though.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, does he, Elton Brand, is he still?
By the way, cattle and black fraternities. Those are people who get branded still.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that. Remember that? A black fraternity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget that, man. Like, I don't care about that much about these guys that I want to drink with.
Yeah.
I do still have my fraternity paddle. I want to find the videos we have of when we.
So such a classic white guy, black guy thing. Black guys are like, yo, we're going to brand your skin with a hot poker. And white guys are like, I'm going to paddle your naked ass.
I know. It's so gay. So gay. So much homoeroticism within the fraternity community. So much. There's some videos I'd like to dig up at some point in my life. Maybe show them to my daughter when she's 16. So this is what your dad did in college. This is what we do not want you to do. Don't do this. What are we making of the free agency so far, Joe? Nothing crazy. We're still waiting on the big splash, right? The big
Well,
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, yeah, the big news today is the Jets seem to be circling a lot of different former weapons of Aaron Rodgers. They're gonna sign Alan Lazard, and they're gonna sign Mercedes Lewis, and they're gonna sign, like, it seems like all things are pointing to Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. I guess the question is, like, what's the holdup? It's does it not seem like it's just a matter of time?
It does, but
With Aaron Rodgers, you never know.
With Aaron Rodgers, you never know. And also, it would be the most Jets thing ever to sign his former wide receivers and skill players and then not get Aaron Rodgers, and then they're stuck with Zach Wilson.
Yeah. And Zach Wilson's throwing to Randall Cobb.
Yeah. Mike White is gone. Like,
so I mean, let's go around the league and start, because the quarterback, obviously we talk endlessly about quarterbacks, but far and away the most important position in the game. You've got, weirdly, Mike White to the Dolphins on a semi big deal. Like, we're talking about, was it 2 years, $16 million or something like that?
See, here's my problem though, and I'm gonna address this right now. I think they've done a beautiful spin on these contracts because they don't list the guarantee.
Right.
That's all that matters. And you and I said this last episode. Everyone needs to stop paying attention to the contracts without knowing the guaranteed. And he's a prime example. CBS Sports has a free agent tracker.
Yeah.
It doesn't list the guarantee. So, like, for your boy Daniel Jones, I pull it up. He's listed at 4 years, $160 million. Well, that's not accurate. He was, what, 4 years, $92 million guaranteed?
Right.
So but it matters. That's why, for example, the Jimmy G signing, I think for a value is a great contract, right? Like, for the value of Jimmy G and them being able to build around him, it's only $34 million guaranteed. Like, that's not that much money, in my opinion, for a few
years. What do you think of Jimmy G to the Raiders with McDaniel?
I think, again, for $34 million at 3 years, you're paying him over a little over guaranteed $11 million $11 million a year. I think that, let's see how it works.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that.
Now, how much do you like the Raiders are finished where in that division? Third and are not a playoff team? Fourth behind your boy and are not a playoff team?
I mean, good question.
I understand that you've got to build from somewhere, but the issue in the AFC West is you can't really slow build in a division with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Justin Herbert has not proven anything yet in terms of, you know, if we're going to hold Lamar Jackson to the standard of you got to go win playoff games, then Justin Herbert, nice. You throw for a lot of yards.
I agree.
And we all have questions about his coaching situation. And Austin Eckler has demanded a trade because they couldn't work out a contract situation. But all that being said, how much time do you really have if you're the Raiders with a new coach going into his second year? So now you have 2, 3, 4 lined up with Jimmy Garoppolo. Are you competing? Are you making the playoffs? I mean, I get that in the NFL, that's got to be the baseline, right?
I think you're competing. I think you're for sure competing. My counter to that is this question. What are your options? If you're the Raiders, there's a finite amount of good quarterbacks out there.
Well, I guess your options are Aaron Rodgers, if you could make a huge play for him.
Which right? wasn't happening.
Right, which wasn't happening. Trying to trade. You know, trying to trade up in the draft, like Carolina obviously did. They're going to go get a quarterback. There's certainly not a lot of options, but... And I'm not necessarily saying I hate it. I've never disliked Jimmy Garoppolo. And obviously he's reunited with a guy he's played under before. But you're not, I don't think that you're, you know, I think a borderline playoff team, we've talked about it before. Like, what does that really make you?
Well, here's what I think they need to do. If with the Jimmy G signing, they have Josh Jacobs another year. He's got the franchise tag, right? So you have a good running game.
You have a good receiver.
They have a good receiver in Davante Adams. You have Darren Waller. You have a good slot guy in Hunter Renfrow. You have some pieces offensively. What they need to do is shore up that defense. The defense has been bad.
I would say that if you're the Raiders, right? Like I talked about with the Giants last year, and everybody's like, how come it's a Super Bowl or bust league, but you're jacking off that they win a playoff game? It's because you have to start somewhere, you know? And obviously that starting somewhere for the Giants is we like this. We think we can build on this. Let's pay the quarterback. Let's tag Saquon. Let's go out and get people. And like, we're going to ride with this team as opposed to, if the Giants missed the playoffs last year, or if they got blown out in that Vikings game, maybe they're not sure if Daniel Jones is their guy and they go in a completely different direction, you know, and then they trade Saquon and some picks to go move up in the draft. So that's where I think it is a Super Bowl or bust league. But the first start is saying, how do we start to build toward winning the Super Bowl? I think if you're the Raiders this year, your goal is finish second behind the Chiefs to make the playoffs as a wild card team?
Yeah, that should be their goal.
I mean, obviously their goal in the locker room is going to be win the AFC West and win the Super Bowl. But I think if you want to believe in Josh McDaniel, I'd like to see that you outcoach Brandon Staley with a potentially better roster. Like, go ahead and finish second in the division. Be better than the Broncos. Be better than the Chargers.
Their goal should be to win a playoff game.
And then I think you have confidence in your coach.
It should be to win a playoff game. just 2 years ago, they were in the playoffs. They played a tough game on the road. Your goal should be to win a playoff game. Derek Carr got you to a playoff 2 years ago. You didn't win. That should be your goal.
And to be totally honest, like with the way the AFC is, with you know, seven teams making it, with the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Bills, I think if you finish second and you lose to one of those teams, then I'm confident in your coaching staff moving forward and say, okay, we're building something here.
Yeah. The Mike White to Miami is an interesting move.
I know.
I think it's very telling about their situation with Tua right now. They're bringing in a guy who is a backup, but could definitely possibly be on that borderline starter. I think what they're saying is, we don't have any faith in Tua's health.
I think what they're saying is, with which, again, I think more teams with quarterbacks that can't stay on the field should do. I mean, if you look, again, I've talked about it in the last couple episodes, but look at the Cowboys in the Romo era. It was always the biggest drop-off. It was Tony Romo would get hurt almost every year, and then they would fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because you had Drew Bledsoe, Drew Henson, Matt Castle, John Kitna showing up in dodgeball shorts because he was teaching gym somewhere. You had, you know, all of these guys who you're just like, why? The guy can't stay on the field. Why don't you have a legit backup? And so with Tua and guys like him, I think that you need to spend that money and say, we're going to pay a guy who's a borderline starter or is just going to be the best of the backups or whatever. And again, you know, I talked about this years ago in that season where the Raiders made the playoffs and had a backup starting. And, you know, we talked about it all with the, you can't tell me that the Nathan Petermans and the whatever are better than Colin Kaepernick, who was out there. That was always my point on the blackballing thing. You can say he doesn't deserve to be a starter in the NFL. You can say that. You'd be wrong, but you could say it. But you can never say that this guy who took a team to the Super Bowl isn't worth $10 million or $8 million or $7 million on your bench to come in and play behind a guy. I mean, look at what the Niners just did yesterday.
Yeah,
the Niners got Darnold to be their third string at this point.
I mean, it really is amazing. It's amazing that we have the Niners as a very good, like, what am I looking for? They're like the, not the poster child, but they're the blueprint is what I want to say on how to do this. I'm surprised more teams don't do this. And for the record, that is absolutely amazing to me, the fall of Sam Darnold. And you know what's crazy? The Jets just strike out. They had Sam Darnold and they had Zach Wilson within how many years apart as top five quarterback picks? Both were bust pretty instantly. Like, that's absolutely – how can you whiff that hard? And that goes to show, when you pick a top five quarterback, you cannot whiff that hard. You just can't. You got to hit one
again,
of them.
Which, again – is, you know, a shout out to my boy Kyler Aronofsky, but that's the entire basis for the bet is, like, the Jets have been so fucking bad at quarterback for so fucking long that the idea of a Jets quarterback coming in and winning 10 games in a season is insane. And it's also why everybody wanted to kill Ryan Fitzpatrick for his week 17 game. And it's like, the guy won 10 games for the Jets. Not only should you not be saying he's not good, you should have a bearded stadium outside MetLife. You guys get top five picks and the guys don't win four games.
They were 3 years apart. Darnold picked third, Wilson picked second. It's truly amazing that you could whiff that badly on those guys. Now, if they get Aaron Rodgers, game changer.
Absolutely.
With that defense, you got some nice weapons, got some young weapons. You got a defensive-minded coach who seems to have a system that the players have bought in. Everyone is pitching for him, right? All his players, or all the current Jets players, they're making it known they want Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what's going to happen with Zach Wilson. I don't know what would happen after that. He's just left a sitting duck. But the AFC would get so interesting if Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets.
Yeah.
That division with the Dolphins, now they have Jalen Ramsey.
Yep.
Now, he's not like what he was once, because that's just a tough position to maintain that, you know, that prowess. But like, Jalen Ramsey's nice. You got a nice team around them. Of course, you have the Bills, the Patriots.
Let me ask you this. I know it's kind of a crazy question, because you still have to consider the Jets factor. You know, as a Mets fan, we're so often Mets-Jets. They shared Shea Stadium. They share a lot of a fan base, but the audacity to do that to us as Mets fans. The Jets haven't played in a Super Bowl since Super Bowl III.
That's crazy.
The Mets have won a World Series since then, played in multiple other World Series since then. Like, the Mets have success to the point where the Jets haven't sniffed a Super Bowl. You still have to factor in, like, there's part of me that's right. Like, there's part of me that goes, the Jets are the favorite in the AFC East if they get Aaron Rodgers. And there's part of me that's like, they're the Jets. They can still finish fourth. And Aaron Rodgers goes to war with the New York media and shows up and suddenly starts talking about how they were, you know, I hope you guys don't do to me what you did to Kyrie. Good dude. Really like that guy. I mean, I think we all need to look into the moon landing and then just be like, boom, the wheels come off.
Now
and he just drives the Jets franchise. He lands the Jet in the Hudson like Sully.
I forget about that. I think it's because obviously I'm not from there. Like, I forget how bad the Jets have historically been. And you just said it. I don't think about that. They haven't been to a Super Bowl since Joe Namath's Super Bowl.
And what's funny about the Jets is the Jets, like, shittiness has always, there's always been a counterpart. I mean, in the 80s, they were like, we hate Dan Marino. Yeah, because he lights you guys up. Then in the 90s, it's like, Jim Kelly's going to the Super Bowl every year. Then for the last 20 years, Tom Brady's just owning the division.
Yeah.
And now, is it reverting back to the Bills? You know, who've won what? How many straight now? Three? Four?
Yeah, three or four. I don't know if I'd make them the favorite, even if they got Aaron Rodgers. Like you said, based on history.
Right, I know. But theoretically, with the defense, with how they played last year, with the question marks at quarterback in Miami.
So they won seven games.
Yeah.
What's the Aaron Rodgers difference? Plus four or five?
I'd say a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That would be a division.
The Bills, you have let's leave the Pats out of it at this point.
Okay.
You know, we can say the Pats will always be hanging around. I feel like the Pats, no matter what happens, if you quarterbacked for them, if I quarterbacked for them, they're going to be, last week of the season, chance to get in the playoffs. That's just Bill Belichick. But when you look at the Dolphins, you have a guy who had so many concussions that they're going out and paying Mike White to come be like a legit backup. You've got the Bills that obviously are the class of the division right now, but they're restructuring contracts because they feel like they need help. You know, they're restructuring Allen and they're restructuring Von Miller. You got a Josh Allen situation where, again, kind of a borderline what we said about Lamar Jackson. Does Josh Allen need to run for the Bills to win?
Yes.
I don't think he does, but I don't think that they believe that. So now we've got a situation where he's injured last year, and that cost them. And how did that affect them in the playoffs? So many factors. So it's tough to say with the Jets' history that Aaron Rodgers comes in and makes them the favorite, but it makes it a question.
I am very surprised that Aaron Rodgers would do the same thing that Brett Favre did. Like, to me, that's a wild card factor that nobody really talks about enough.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers he's a guy who does his own thing. We all know this. And he's become more and more eccentric as he's gotten older.
Do you think that's a holdup in this situation? Do you think part of it is him not wanting to? And by the way, is the path there for him to also end up on the Vikings 3 years from now when the Vikings finally give up on Kirk Cousins?
That'd be hilarious.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Vikings are the favorite in the entire NFC if they got Aaron Rodgers?
Without a doubt. Actually, no. Take that back. I'm not going to say without a doubt. Niners are really good, man.
They finished ahead of the Niners last year. Or they didn't finish it, but they were right there.
The Eagles. Now, we'll see what happens in free agency. The Eagles are
the
good.
The Eagles. By the way, I mean, this is just so glorious for me as a Giants fan. Let me pull up this stat. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. This tweet, I believe, was it a Schefter tweet? Eagles losing another defender. Safety Marcus Epps has reached agreement with the Las Vegas Raiders per source. Epps played 1,058 defensive snaps last season, the most by any Eagles player. 8 of Philly's top 9 players by total defensive snaps last season have either left, are current free agents, or have received permission to seek a trade.
See, I didn't know it was that high. That's an insane stat. 8 of their 9.
8 of their 9 top players by snap on defense.
Wow.
Because I was talking with a dirtball the other day who...
So they might have been a one-hit wonder?
I'm just saying, I talked to a dirtball the other day. They're going to own the NFC East. Not even the NFC East. He said they're going to own the NFC. The NFC for a decade. And I go, they're already planning for the Jalen Hurts extension. They're already planning for it.
Yeah. I was watching the NFL Network. Obviously, it's prime time to watch it. And they were having a discussion. It was Rich Eisen and Maurice Jones-Drew and I forget, maybe Scott Pioli. Former GM, and they were debating who should get the most guaranteed as far as Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow. Now, 2 of the 3 said Burrow. Maurice Jones-Drew said Jalen Hurts, which I was like, I don't like why. But it is interesting because if they throw that money, because he is a guy – just like Lamar, you've shown you need to run for your game.
See,
I think he has a better arm.
No one is on that level that Lamar Jackson is right now. I think Lamar Jackson is the current Cam Newton, whereas there's absolutely no sign that he can win without running.
Correct.
And he's been injured because of it. I'd almost put Josh Allen second right now in that grouping, and that's on the Bills. And you know, I don't know, is that Dable being gone, or is that something that Dable just truly believed and left as part of his legacy? And that scares the shit out of me with Daniel Jones, as we talked about last episode. Is Dable just a new NFL head coach where it's like, you do what you got to do to win, and if he gets hurt, he gets hurt? I think that's ludicrous and insane. But third, probably behind that, you know, I'd say it's Lamar, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, and then probably Jalen Hurts in that second group, or maybe the fourth one, because you would think with how good the Eagles were and how they outclassed their competition for a lot of the season. I mean, if you look at the way people were predicting the Niners to win that playoff game, which I still think they had a great chance of doing if Brock Purdy had stayed in the game. But if you look at the teams they beat during the regular season and the teams that they lost to and the way they would beat them, they had so many teams outclassed just by roster that the fact that they ran Jalen Hurts as much as they did is questionable because he ends up hurt. So how much?
Here's the thing about Jalen Hurts. How much do you
pay a guy who has to run?
I don't know if he is actually nearing the point where I don't know if he has to run. I think he's really progressed that much as a passer. I'll just say it. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I think he did. I really do.
He also had a huge turnover that was a game changer.
He did. Now it's a team game. It's a good point. I just think he played a really, really, really good Super Bowl. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Now the Lamar Jackson situation.
But let's stay on Jalen Hurts for 1 second. So everybody's talking about these numbers and forget who should have more guaranteed. Like, obviously I think Joe Burrow is the best of those three quarterbacks. And if everything was fair, who should get the most money? The guy who is the best. So, you know, cap situations aside, or Joe Burrow taking less money for his receivers or whatever the situation may be. If we know what Patrick Mahomes got, let's also take Deshaun Watson's contract, ludicrous and dumb, out of the situation. Let's take Kyler. Like, we've seen that with Lamar Jackson, right? We've seen him comparing himself to guys who got dumb contracts and now not being able to get a dumb contract. But if you're the Eagles, what do you give Jalen Hurts? Where do you think you cross a threshold of now hurting yourself? I mean, if Daniel Jones' contract is whatever it is guaranteed, but 4 years, 100, he's making $40 million. How much does Jalen Hurts ask for? And at what point is it not worth it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, right?
Would you go over $45 million for Jalen Hurts?
Again, I think the big number is like, what's the overall guaranteed? You know, you can make the argument, and I don't know why no one's done this. And I know the argument would be, well, that was a few years ago, almost 3 years ago. Patrick Mahomes is sitting at around $142 million guaranteed. Why has no team made the argument, there's no better QB than Patrick Mahomes? Nobody should get more than him.
Yeah.
That's a fair argument to make.
If you look at the numbers that have come out about the Lamar Jackson situation, that he's claiming in his cap tweet that he was offered 3 years, $133 million fully guaranteed. Isn't that what they were saying?
Yeah. So
isn't that essentially exactly what they were saying? We're not going to give you a Patrick Mahomes got guaranteed, but we're going to give you pretty close, and it's going to be fully guaranteed for 3 years.
So I don't know how many years it was, but he was offered, and Adam Schefter brought this up again on his podcast. He said Lamar was offered $133 million due at signing. The contract also had injury guarantees that brought the guarantees to 170.
Injury incentives, like non-injury incentives, essentially.
Correct.
Health incentives.
So the Ravens wisely, as we've been saying, said, okay, we'll give you $133 million. And again, this is last September. $133 million guaranteed. If you stay on the field for all 17 games, I don't know how many years that was. It doesn't say. But we'll bump that up to $175 million. That's a lot of money. $42 million to stay on the field. And it also had what he list as a springing guarantee. Not sure what that means. That would have brought the value for the contract guaranteed to $200 million. And Schefter doubles down and says, these were the actual numbers.
And he said cap, right? On he was offered $200 million. But the bottom line is, he wasn't offered $200 million. He was offered $133 million guaranteed. And he has health incentives. He knows what we know, what we've been saying the whole time. We put it up on our YouTube shorts and on our TikToks and on our Instagram. And we have people that don't listen to this show see it out of context and freak out. But the bottom line is, he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So the idea of him when he says, you didn't offer me $200 million, that's true. They didn't. They offered you $133 million. They offered you $200 million if you can stay healthy, but they know they won't have to pay you that. You know they won't have to pay you that. We know they won't have to pay you that. And 15,000 million people on the internet who are dickbags who don't know anything about football are like, running quarterbacks don't get injured. Okay. Well, listen, we think they do. The Ravens think they do. And Lamar Jackson thinks they do. You can think whatever you want. But the bottom line is, the Ravens offered him $133 million. The reports are he was offered $200 million. He's calling that report bullshit, and he's right because he won't stay on the field. So he was really offered $133 million. But he wants $200 million guaranteed. He doesn't want $200 million in incentives because he knows he can't stay on the field.
Which, again, if I'm an agent – or I'm sorry, if I'm a team – I don't know why more teams are not bringing up Patrick Mahomes' deal. Patrick Mahomes got $141.4 million guaranteed. I'd say to any quarterback, go fuck yourself. Patrick Mahomes has played in three Super Bowls. He's won two of them. He's the best quarterback by far in the NFL, and he got $141 million guaranteed. I'd look at Lamar Jackson or any of these guys, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I look at them in the eye and say, why are you worth more than Patrick Mahomes? State your case. Oh, you can't say a rebuttal? Okay, you don't get $141 million guaranteed. End of story.
I mean, to be totally honest with you, if you're a guy who's negotiating with a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray or a Derek Carr or anybody or a Daniel Jones or whatever, when you have won a Kirk Cousins, when you have won more career playoff games then Patrick Mahomes has Super Bowl MVPs, we will come back and talk to you. Until then, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has two Super Bowl MVPs. Lamar Jackson has one playoff win. And I was just exchanging comments with a guy on TikTok. He's like, you can't compare Mahomes to Lamar Jackson. You're right. You're right. They're not in the same class. But guess what? The complaints are he doesn't have top 15 wide receivers. Well, neither does Patrick Mahomes. So we're not saying he's got to go out and make three of the next five Super Bowls because there is no comparison. But if Patrick Mahomes can make a Super Bowl every year and win some without a top 15 wide receiver like core this year, he didn't have a top 15 wide receiver in his whole core. He just had a tight end, which Lamar Jackson has. If he can go out and win the Super Bowl, you should be able to go out and win a playoff game. A playoff game.
There's no argument anymore for the Lamar Jackson thing. It's done. It's over. To me, the nail in the coffin, when I looked this up out of curiosity, was the Lamar Jackson versus Joe Flacco first 5 years. When I looked it up, and I found out that both Lamar Jackson and both Joe Flacco had top 3 point per game defenses in four of their 5 years. So it's spot on. Both had that. And one quarterback has 9 playoff wins and the other has 1. End of story. You done. Ravens fans, Flacco was better in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson. That's really not a debate. That's a fact. 9-1 with the same defenses. And you can say, oh.
Yeah, and they're Lamar, not the same defenses.
No.
Right?
One had Hall of Famer Ray Lewis and
Ed Reed. Juggs
and Ed Reed. And, look, I get it. They're not the same.
But that's neither here nor there. We're talking, again, we're not saying Lamar Jackson in his first 5 years needs 10 playoff wins.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Because that would make him have a better – We're saying two. Two.
So we have a call.
All this thing, you know, the comparison. Everybody was doing the Daniel Jones. I guess the Giants wanted Daniel Jones, but they didn't want Lamar Jackson. First of all, if you're having a conversation about quarterbacks and their salaries are not a factor, you're a child. You're a child. My nephew's 10. He understands Lamar Jackson's going to cost more. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're talking, you're just an 8-year-old. It's like, Lamar Jackson by the Daniel Jones. Okay, cool. What does that matter? That doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes is better than all of them. So if you're talking about it and you're not thinking, but the, you know, the criticisms out there of race or whatever, oh, Daniel Jones can get paid and Lamar Jackson can't. Guess what? Daniel Jones has one playoff win in 1 year with the guy who's going to be his head coach for his career. Lamar Jackson in 5 seasons also has one win with the guy who's going to be the coach for his career. Neither of those coaches are going anywhere. Yeah. Daniel Jones, 1 year, one playoff win. Lamar Jackson with Harbaugh, 5 years, one playoff win.
So we have a call because I've seen this. And somebody,
and by the way, Daniel Jones played a hell of a lot better in his first playoff game than Lamar Jackson played in his first playoff game.
Do you remember who that was against?
No, but I remember it was a horrific game.
Against the Chargers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it was absolutely awful. It was real bad. Okay. We do have a call. Now, and somebody left us in the YouTube comments as well.
Okay.
In the shorts. Now it seems the goalposts have moved in the Lamar discussion. It's not his fault. We're starting to blame the training staff. Let me see if I can pull up.
Have
you seen this? We have a call about this. So somebody left that again under our YouTube short. Let me see. I have two calls set up. Let me see. I'm not sure which one. Let me just test it out.
What's up, boys? It's Bryson calling again, man. I'm just got off the phone with my buddy who lives in Baltimore, grew up in Baltimore, been there his whole life. He used to dance with me. And we're talking about Lamar Jackson. I know you were talking about how he's only won one, you know, playoff game, blah, 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 blah. But I told him, like, a lot of people aren't going after him. I don't think he stays healthy enough. And then he sends me this stat posted, you know, by everybody recently. And I did not know this about the Ravens, but they are ranked 32nd out of 32nd in strength coaches, and they're in the bottom 20 to 30 in training staff, nutrition, ranked 13th. Weight room is ranked 22nd. Like, 18th is treatment of families. Like, they are ranked really low when it comes to, you know, strength and conditioning and everything. And all these players, Rashad Bateman, I don't know how to pronounce the other guy's last name, Lamar Jackson, all these guys were healthy in college. Then they come to the Ravens, and they can't even finish a season. Rashad Bateman never had an injury in college. He has yet to finish a season with the Ravens since he got there. So apparently there's some other stuff going off the field that they need to address as to why all these players get injured. And I just think that's crazy. Something I ever looked into. I just always thought Lamar Jackson was injury prone, but it turns out it's not him. It's like a lot of the team. So there's stuff they need to be addressing off the field. So I just want to get y'all's opinion on that. Stay tuned.
Okay. Well, first of all,
Andy, I just sent you a picture that I want you to put up in our YouTube thing, because this is a Giants fan. It's going to be my counter to that. This was Eli Manning's trainer for a good portion of his career. I want you to put this up.
All right, give me a second.
I don't know if this guy knows a whole lot about supplements. I'm not sure if he was doing, and I highly doubt he was doing yoga or advanced conditioning. I don't think Alpha Brain or Athletic Greens were being handed out in the Giants locker room. I don't think that they were using a lot of Theraguns. This was Eli Manning's trainer for a good portion of his career.
The problem is I got to
you got to implement. Anyway, my point is, you can blame the training staff. And I think that's a legitimate concern. You know, if you don't think you have a good training staff. But the idea that Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, isn't staying on the field because of the training staff is kind of ludicrous. If you show this guy, the Giants had Yoda as their head trainer. Eli Manning never missed a game. Peyton Manning never missed a game. John Johnson, Giants athletic trainer since 1948. He looks like he's sucking on a Werther's original. He was the Giants head trainer for 60 years. I heard that if you went in his office, it was just cases of Ben Gay. And he gave it, and he was just like, good luck. And they'd be like, Trainer Johnson, I got a torn ACL. He's like, Ben Gay. I got a high ankle sprain. Ben Gay? I have a stinger in my neck. Spoiler, Ben Gay.
So this is the Giants head trainer all through Eli Manning's career.
A good portion of, I believe he retired in like 2009 or 2010 or something like that. But he was the trainer for 60 years.
Yeah.
They didn't have a polio vaccine when he started as the Giants head trainer. If you had any sort of blood issues when he started as a trainer, he would put leeches on your body to suck out the bad blood.
Oh, we also have found out through YouTube, he actually found the cure for scurvy.
Yeah. He was the test case for penicillin.
Amazing.
Now, I'm taking a great example, right? Or I know sort of a one-off, a unicorn in Eli Manning, a guy who never missed a game to injury. A guy who, again, I said this the other day to somebody, Lamar Jackson missed more games to injury in week 17 than Eli Manning missed in his career. Oh, well, you picked the one guy. Well, what about his brother, who also played like 250 straight games before having a spine injury? What about Phillip Rivers? What about Brett Favre?
Russell Wilson played 9 straight seasons without missing a game. Like there's a Matt Ryan played 7 straight seasons. Matthew Stafford didn't miss a start for 6 or 7 straight seasons. There's a lot of guys out there, man, that played a lot. I do not want to hear any excuses. You got to stay in the field. That's all that matters to me.
Also, is this trainer new? Was this not Joe Flacco's trainer?
Yeah, Flacco never missed games either. Look, you can highlight a bad training room, and I'm not saying that doesn't exist because
I'm saying it absolutely exists.
It does. The players filled it out. They said it exists. Also, you're a running quarterback, so I don't know what it would matter whether you're running for the Ravens or the Dolphins or whatever team. You're a running quarterback, dude. They get injured. I'll just say it. Lamar Jackson's he could not have misplayed this worse. You had all this money guaranteed. You thought you were worth more money than you should have been. You got hurt again, and now you're seeing that. Because the interesting point, the interesting moment where we're at, Joe, we're to the point, what other options does he have? All these teams are filling in their quarterback positions, right?
Well, if somebody was going to do a deal for trading 2 first-rounders – and giving him his $50 million guaranteed he wanted, they would have done it.
They would have done it. What team out there, maybe, just maybe, if the Jets don't get Aaron Rodgers, like, is their move Lamar Jackson? But then again, we've seen what Lamar Jackson does with the top three defense. Not win playoff games. He is going to have to go back to Baltimore with his tail between his legs. That's the only other option. Now, what do you make of Carolina trading up to get the number one pick?
I like it. I don't know who they have their eye on. I haven't watched enough college football. I know nothing about, is it Anthony Richardson? Is that his name? The Florida kid?
I think so. Shows how little I know.
Too. I know nothing about him. Everybody apparently has a boner.
Bryce Young scares me because he's so short.
For him. I like Bryce Young.
He's great.
In me watching Bryce Young play, I think he's going to be really good. Now, I think when you look at a guy like that in terms of size, I don't like that. I wouldn't want him to go. Oh my God. Can I just have a breaking news?
Yeah, of course.
I don't have the news, but I'll just read this. Huge trade coming. Giants, you're going to be pumped. What?
Was this personally sent to you?
This was personally sent to me.
Interesting.
Breaking news. I don't know what that means. God, let's go. Do we have guesses?
Diggins?
Ooh. Ooh. I like that.
I mean, that'd be a nice receiver. Like, really nice. I don't know. What do you think?
I have no idea. I'm shaking with excitement right now. I mean, you're going to be pumped makes me think it's some sort of skill position player, right? It makes me think receiver.
It would have to be, right?
It's not going to be a running back. It's not going to be, I mean, it could be a corner. We just signed a linebacker. I don't think you're going to be pumped as us getting a guard.
No, it's got to be a skill position.
A pass rusher, but we're like, and that's the
what
last
is that?
Thing
a wide receiver, a tight end,
wide receiver, tight end, corner. Huge trade coming. Huge trade. What's huge? DK Metcalf.
Forgot about him. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
not necessarily but like that seems like a kind of a very Pete Carroll seems like a smart guy, right?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Was he?
That's my guess.
You think it's DeAndre Hopkins?
That's my guess. Hopkins.
Was he on the boat with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase? Did you see this?
No.
TMZ, which is like, how is this even news? I think he might have been on the boat with them. It was Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, some girls. They're on a boat in Miami. I don't know if I saw DeAndre Hopkins was on that too. Not like it really matters. I mean, literally, this is a headline. TMZ Sports. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Bengals hanging with the gals, party on the yacht.
I mean, we know this is the end of their careers, right? They'll be looking for work with Odell Beckham. They'll be going to tryouts.
Hopkins was not on the boat. Looks like him. I don't know. I would assume that's got to be a receiver. It's got to be a receiver.
My guess is Hopkins. That's my guess. I put in the hop question mark. Mikey's going harder. Offense or defense, tell me.
You can't tease it out there like that.
I don't have it. I'm just giving you
answers. I'm saying you can't be teased like that.
I know. I agree. But, you know, you can't. Also, it's a dangerous game. You can't be telling a guy currently doing a live podcast.
No.
Can you imagine we have it first? First reported. Schefter? Rappaport? Ruther?
Joey Nocio? Well, to be continued on that, right?
Yeah, to be continued. I forget what we were talking about. I just got super excited.
We were just talking about the Panthers and trading up, and it looks like they finally know who they want to take.
I have a feeling it's Richardson, but obviously it could be any. I like Bryce Young. My fear with Bryce Young is a guy with that size. You don't want to put a guy with that, like, with his size on a shit team and then just gets beat up for a while. You know, I wouldn't like to see that.
I mean, look, that's a division, right, where it's open.
Totally.
And we all know it's not going to be Jameis Winston who's going to be the quarterback for the Saints anymore. It looks like he's going to be a backup, even though people who literally write books and write novels. Dude, your boy Jameis 101 just wrote back a novel. A novel. I just pulled it up in DMs after what I wrote to him. I just snap where I'm like, you're a loser, literally.
Because at this point, it's, you know, it's nice that it's finally happened, but Jameis Winston nearing a deal, or is it official? Is it official? It's official. He signed up to be the backup for the Saints. He is the backup quarterback for the Saints. He's accepted it. It's not a quarterback competition. They go out and they sign Derek Carr, played with Dennis Allen. He's clearly their starter. Jameis Winston has not tested his value. He is happy being the backup quarterback on the Saints, which leaves some crazy people out there, but really one person, truly one person and his minions now believe in Jameis Winston more than Jameis Winston believes in Jameis Winston.
I want to, you know what? I'm just going to put it on the screen. I'm just done with this guy. Why am I holding back not showing his DMs on the screen?
Yeah, why are you?
Why am I holding back? Because I want the dirtballs to see.
Wow. What, 4 minutes ago. What? Giants are trading for Raiders tight end Darren Waller, per sources. Giants are sending a third round pick number 100 to Las Vegas for a tight end Darren Waller. What? Darren Waller,
he's
for
good,
a
dude.
Third rounder.
It's a nice little weapon. It's a nice little weapon. Nice. I'm going to put up on the screen right now while you look at that. I want to put up the exchange because I just have to, because, you know, I want the dirtballs to see the lunacy that we deal with when we deal with Jameis 101. And now I can walk away. You're right. Joe can walk away and we should. I get too much enjoyment off of it. It's pure lunacy.
I'm going to have to put on my glasses so I can read.
Okay. I'll read what I wrote. He always does the pray for yourself crap. Or I pray for you. I wrote before the show started today, to him, when he said, I sincerely pray for you, I wrote, pray for yourself. All you do is make excuses. You list random cherry pick stats. No one, and I mean no one, gives a single fuck about. You're not smarter than 32 owners/GMs. If he was good, he'd start, but he's not. He's an absolute bust and a backup. You're a complete and utter loser. And you know this deep down. Get help, Ethan. This is what he wrote back.
I love that we have breaking Darren Waller to the Giants. You're like, can you put a pin in that? I have to read this unhinged DM from the anonymous author of the Jameis Winston superbook.
He wrote, I pray for myself and for you all the time. Facts aren't excuses. They are facts, even if you don't like them. The stats I use are used by all GMs. Jason Light used to basically quote from my book when he spoke about JW publicly, but torn ACLs and broken backs means more and cancel out many stats, obviously. What? This is where I love it. Not to brag, but I actually highly...
Can you scroll down on the screen so we can read this, or is that not possible?
I am scrolling down on the screen. Is it not?
It's okay.
Is it not...
No, that's all right, though.
You know what? Fuck this. You're right. This is just goes on and on. This guy. So what's the move here, Prano?
What's like, the move with who?
With
Jameis one of one?
Like...
There's no move. What? There's no move.
At what point do I just... Do we just, like, back off completely? I've never seen someone so crazy. Like, as far as, like, you're so unhinged that you think you're a GM.
Yeah,
but how much does Aaron Waller really help? Like, where do you think that puts the Giants?
Well, I would like to see, obviously, so the Giants signed Sterling Shepard, which, you know, you can't really count on. But at this point, you know, the Giants have a wide receiving core that is pretty, I mean, tell me if you agree with me, but the way Isaiah Hodgins played last year, you pencil him into one of your three wide receiver positions?
I mean,
I do.
Yeah,
I do. So I've got Isaiah Hodgins penciled into a wide receiver spot. Sterling Shepard, they signed him. You're going to assume that they hope that he can play. So you got Shepard, Hodgins, Waller. Their other tight end, whose name is escaping me right now, that got the eye thing, Bellinger, good player. I think the Giants are a move for that other wide receiver spot away from having actually a nice little core. I mean, I know you can't count on Sterling Shepard being productive, but I think that they believe in him. I think Isaiah Hodgins, you know, if he's your third wide receiver, the way he played last year, I'd love to, you know, if I was, you know, the Chiefs, or if I was the Dolphins, or if I was the Jets or whatever, like a guy like that is your third guy. If suddenly they were like, hey, we want to sign this guy and make him our third guy, I would be stoked if I was one of those teams. So I think they're, I mean, obviously I think that they're still a number one receiver away from having a really good skill group when you include Saquon, but the tight end position, man, it's so huge in the NFL. And Waller's a good one.
Yeah, it's really important. So important. I'm shocked. Well, the Raiders obviously in rebuild mode. But I'm shocked they got rid of him. He's got a good story, obviously. He battled a lot of addiction. You know, he's a great story. Now, he's been injury prone. We talked about the last few years, missed 5 games, and last year missed 11. For that, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. You got to keep him on the field.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big thing for him. Stay healthy.
No doubt about that.
Well, we'll watch it as it develops. At this point, you know, if you look at the top free agents, most are signed. Teams are figuring things out. And we'll... hopefully have an Aaron Rodgers update on Friday.
I'm about to fire off a Jameis tweet. I think it's time.
I just DM'd him again. I can't resist. Just a DM'd a loser gif. You know why it gets to me? Why it gets me so annoyed is because he tries to take a moral high ground. When people try to take moral high grounds, there's nothing I hate more than that. Like you're this just moral Jesus and God. Like that shit gets to me. Like that's anybody who, dude, believe what you want to believe. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. Anybody wants to believe in any religion, that's cool. Don't act like you're better than me. Or don't act like when you did an awful crime, those type of athletes and those type of people, suddenly you found Jesus, so you're so good. Cool, dude. You found Jesus after you murdered two people. Good for you. Don't act like you're better.
Yeah, you found Jesus after you sexually assaulted a bunch of people in college and stole from a Publix.
Yeah. You know, don't act like you're better. I don't want to hear about it.
What do you think is what's the standout move of the free agency period so far to you?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I have one right now.
You're not a Patrick Peterson to the Steelers?
Nah, he's old, washed up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say what. You know, he's older.
Yeah.
You just have such a finite lifeline in the
Nikki D, I saw tweeted about it. He was very excited.
You know, now the ratings look, those are subjective. But like I said, CBS's free agency tracker, like they had Lamar Jackson number one, obviously. Derek Carr number two, like as far as importance. I'm just saying, like, most of these guys are, they went where they went. So, like the biggest guy out there right now, according to their tracker, you have Lamar at one, you have Orlando Brown, offensive tackle. He doesn't have a spot yet from the Chiefs at seven. And the Chiefs signed Juwan Taylor to fill his spot at eighth. So, like, they just basically switched.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Like, teams, like, so the Bengals lost their starting safeties yesterday. And obviously, I see a lot of Bengals fans. Like, dude, it is what it is, man. That's the NFL. Like,
exactly. Like, this is the you know, everybody jokes the salary cap's not real. You can make it work. It's like, it is real, though. You still have to, like, you can't just keep everybody. If you could, the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl every year. And they still have Tyreek Hill, and they'd still have, you know, you can't pay actually everybody.
I see what you just did on our Twitter feed.
Yeah. I had it saved in the draft, so it was quick. It was a quick tweet.
It'll never die, will it?
No.
Will this be the longest standing dirty sports rivalry?
I would feel dumb about it. I'd feel dumb about how much we still talk about Jameis one of one, and if other podcasts that stole our content weren't still talking about it as well. If our pretenders are still using it, we should still be using it. The originals should still be using it.
I don't think anybody else is talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. You know. There's other podcasts out there.
That's just fascinating, you know, to me.
That DM'd us and apologized for stealing our content. That are still talking about it every time there's a Jameis Winston, every time there's Jameis Winston news.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The craziest part to me is, again, that I sent Ethan his own book to his house, and he direct messaged Dirty Sports on Instagram. It's like, I don't know how you found me. And he's still acting like we don't know who he is. Like, dude, you've already owned up to, we know who you are. If I'm in Tampa, I'm knocking on your door.
I think you need to remember you're dealing with a sociopath.
True. True.
All right, yeah. I gotta go. Are we done, or are we have? No, we're not done. We have way more sports to talk. I thought you were about to free me to go watch Darren Waller highlights.
No, you'll be free in a few. But okay. We got some other stuff to talk. Got a little John Morant update. No date for return. He is in counseling.
Yeah, I know. They sent him to Florida for counseling.
Interesting move.
The strip club capital of the world.
Yeah. Well, I never thought of that. You saw the picture.
Yeah. Now, I went to that strip club with our friend Bo Blaha back in the day.
Oh, you've been to Jaws Strip Club?
The one in Denver. Yeah. Very disappointed in it. I was just like,
interesting.
I was like, what's the guy you got to do around here to eat? Like, you know, here's the thing with me and strip clubs. I'm not super big on getting a lap. Like, I'm not super big on strip clubs in general. And a lot of times I'll go with friends or I'll go and it's like, I'm not spending money to get a lap dance. You know what I mean? I'll spend my money on booze. I'll spend my money on like singles and throw them or whatever. But it really wasn't set up that way. Like, it wasn't a great experience for just like throwing dollar bills at people. But so then in that case, you're like, what's the guy got to do around here to get offered a lap dance, which I wasn't. And I guess that's because 40 girls were in the back room with John Moran, who was eating chicken fingers, and the whole entire room is covered in singles.
Yeah. The food is very questionable. Like I quote tweeted on Dirty Sports. That's the real crime here, eating food at a strip club.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a crime that nobody should be committing. And I'll pose a question to you. What's a worse spot to eat food at? A comedy club or a strip club? Both sus.
Yeah, but there's more like body fluid at a strip club, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, comedy, like, I would never tell somebody to eat food at a comedy club, right?
Well, my argument for the comedy club here is like, if you go to The Stand in New York or whatever, it's like, it's got great food. There's you know, if you go to the Irvine Improv, it's an umami burger. Are there strip clubs out there besides that one random one that people go through for the lemon pepper wings or whatever in Atlanta, where people are talking about how great the food is?
Wait, there's a strip club in Atlanta known for their food?
Well, remember, what wasn't it Lou Williams a couple years ago that like got caught at a strip club and he was like, I was going for the wings.
Amazing.
And they were like, that's, yeah, right, sure, bro. By the way, my reports are that this was the third pick that the Giants just gave up for Darren Waller was the third pick they acquired for Kadarius Toney. So a straight up Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller trade.
That's interesting.
Not bad when you look at it that way. Yeah. Also not bad when you look at it as just a third rounder, right?
Yeah. Not bad at all. Will Ja Morant play again this year?
Yes. Obviously, yeah. Now we're already over the Ruth or over, right? Like, you were like two games.
No, I'm saying I didn't know what was happening. I was saying they gave him two games.
And I said that it was undetermined that they were starting with two games. You're like, yeah, he's giving out two games. I was like, I don't know, I think he's gonna be out a while. But he'll for sure they'll bring him back. What they'll do is they'll bring him back with 7-8 games to go before the playoffs and get them geared up again.
Ja,
which if I know anything might not be enough.
Yeah.
I've been told through the years that for sure 17 games is not enough to get ready for the playoffs. At that point you'll just be super tired. Won't be able to beat teenage Shaq.
Shots fired. Now, Ja made a splash in the NCAA tournament, right? Like that's what all.
Oh my God, we have March Madness. Does March Madness start on Thursday?
Technically starts tonight. The playing games.
Oh, playing games.
I don't really count those.
Yeah. I already I mean, I can preview it all I want. Oh, I should say this. I believe there's a Dirty Sports bracket. Go to our Reddit. This is a Dirty Sports bracket. Shout out to Pee Pee Wada.
Yeah, I see that. First
link
comment
is posted on the subreddit.
I'm only in if it's ran by Mac and first place gets $1,000. Great reference.
Link is at the top of our Reddit page. Join my ESPN group, Dirty Sports, on ESPN. Password is dirtball. But if you go to
our Reddit page,
pinned Reddit post, join the Dirty Sports Bracket Challenge. I'll be in there. Spoiler, I'm picking UCLA to win it all.
I'll be in there too. I'll fill it out. Now, I don't like I don't know enough. Obviously, I might know a little more than you. Fun fact I saw the other day, North Carolina was the first ever
preseason number one to not make the tournament.
Yeah, to not make the tournament. I did watch the end of that, like the last 10 minutes of that UCLA-Arizona game. That was fun.
I watched a bit of that UCLA-Arizona game while I was in Big Sky at a bar.
And Walton was calling it. You probably couldn't hear it at the bar.
Oh, so. I did not know that.
Yeah. So Walton was calling it. So it's like, I'll settle down here for this.
And Bill Walton. I've got my Bill Walton shirt on. Bill Walton's calling the game, and I'm calling the game right now. I'm calling game on the NCAA tournament. My UCLA Bruins going to win it all. Finally, the chip come home. The chip will come home to where it belongs. We're going to cut down the net, put it up at Pauly. Are we going to pin it to the wall? Are we going to put it on it? No, it's just going to float. Coach John Wooden will be holding it from the afterlife. It'll just sit. How is that hanging in a trophy case in the air? Is there fishing line that I don't see? No, that's being held up by the two hands of the great John Wooden. UCLA to win it all. That's my call. I saw it in a vision the other day after I microdosed mushrooms, my morning coffee.
Wow. Is that a little preview for Thursday's show?
Yeah. Andy, I'm predicting it. UCLA Bruins to win it all. I know nothing about college basketball. I'll take that for what it's worth.
We'll do a very rapid fire March Madness
preview on Thursday.
Like very rapid fire. Cause yeah. I don't think anybody wants to hear people talking about things they don't have no clue about.
Yeah.
I am going to say I called it about Rick Pitino. You see the reports?
No. What's the reports? Rick Pitino to where?
Well, I said he's going to make his way back to like a program that's in a major conference.
Yep. Where are they talking?
St. John's.
Whoa. Wow.
Big speculation. Now, they just fired their coach.
I can tell you who is excited about that. Pete Sestaro. Huge St. John's fan.
Now, Rick's still coaching right now. They're in the tournament. Iona's in the tournament.
Correct. Works out perfectly for him. Still local. He can still live, right? He could probably still commute from his house on the 4th at Wingfoot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, like this is the headline in the New York Post yesterday. Rick Pitino sees in quote superstar in St. John's Prez. And then it's just him ranting about the president of St. John's. I know the president very well. He's a superstar. I know him from Providence.
Wow. It's that'd like be huge for St. John's.
Oh my God. Game changer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know if you need help with recruiting. Listen, I know I didn't do a great job there, coach of the Johnnies, but Rick, hey, coach, it's me, Molly, Chris Mullen. You know me. You need any help or whatever with anything, you just give me a ring. I don't have a cell phone, but I do still have a landline, so call me. You know, if you need me to go into the city, talk to some guys, get them on the tip, I got you. No problem. No problem for me.
I think he actually, in that story, actually quoted, there's something there with...
Let me tell you something, coach. Is what I would do if I was you. Me, I was left-handed. Felipe Lopez, left-handed. Probably the biggest miss in St. John's history, letting Lamar Odom leave Queensbridge and go to up to Rhode Island. Left-handed. Recruit every left-handed guy in the tri-state area. I tried to do it. They wouldn't listen to me. They'll listen to you, coach.
Well, he's actually quoted talking about Chris Mullen.
Glad you're thinking of me.
He said they really had it going back. I don't know when this was taken from. They really had it going back then. They kept the New York town at home. Times have changed because St. John's could have their players live off campus and they got a stipend. So Chris Mullen, to get him to stay home and attract that type of talent was such an enormous thing for St. John's.
Ooh, it was. Yeah. It was. I was living off campus.
A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people are like, why is he going to Queens? I wasn't. I lived in Midtown Manhattan. People are like, isn't it hard to get the games? No, we played in the Garden then. That was, you think it was the coincidence? We was always playing in the Garden? Come on. I lived above the Garden. I lived in the skybox. I lived in the skybox of the Garden. People don't know that. How'd you get the class? Spoiler, I didn't. Fun fact about me and Mark Jackson, besides the games that we would occasionally play, we've never been to Queens. Besides the games where we played in the field house there. Mark Jackson and I lived in Manhattan.
Amazing. I mean, that might be low-key one of the best. Chris Mullin. If SNL starts doing Chris Mullin,
you
need to file a cease and desist.
Yeah.
If that happens. Have you watched any of this World Baseball Classic?
I have. I've watched a little bit.
It was on. I was at a casino with my buddy getting some food at one of the restaurants Saturday night, and it was on. Baseball is so bad, Joe, at marketing. And we're watching it, right, as we're having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the lineup for the States. It was the United States versus Great Britain. And I'm like, Mike Trout, you know, Arenado. You're just seeing the players come up. I'm like, wait, they have all the legit players. Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
And you're like, how does no one know about this?
What do you mean, how does no one know about it?
Like, no one's talking about it.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Andy, are they?
Are
they?
And in fact, I would say that this is the World Baseball Classic is proof that MLB is incompetent when it comes to market. Like, there's no pitch clock, and all the Latin fans are, but like, Miami Stadium sold out. Like, they're getting more fans there for the Venezuela, you know, the Venezuela, like, what was the first game I watched? Venezuela, Dominican Republic, than they've gotten for a Marlins game ever. They had a game in Arizona.
Well, that was when I was watching. I was watching the Arizona game.
Matt Harvey shoving for Team Italy. I don't know how he ended up on Team Italy, but I love it. I'm so hardcore Team Italy. First of all,
Harvey? That doesn't sound Italian at all.
First of all, they're like, you know, now every team has like when a guy gets on base, they do like the Italian hand. They have an espresso machine in their dugout.
Matt Harvey's playing for the Italian team.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a me, Matt Harvey.
It's amazing that these guys can just get away with that stuff.
I wonder what Dark Knight translates to in Spanish, in Italian.
I mean. I wonder what the guy who asked LeBron the question that we played, what he is covering.
Yeah.
About his favorite scene in The Godfather.
Yeah. Cavalieri Oscuro. That's Dark Knight.
But my point was that I didn't really know about it. Like, it was on TV, so I'm like, hey, I'm sitting here at a casino. I'm going to watch it.
Like, yeah.
Not that.
Well,
not
I think it'll. Like, first of all, it's the early, you know, it's pool play. So I think you'll see more and more as we get into the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the finals. But I watched a bunch of World Baseball Classic in my hotel while I was on the ski trip.
But that's my point. Like, you're sitting down. You're not like, this is anything anybody cares about. Like, who cares about the World Baseball Classic outside of like diehard baseball fans? Whereas normally, if you're doing
it, I wouldn't even know. Yeah, who cares about anything? Who cares about?
I just feel like the marketing again. To me, I was shocked to see all the legit players from the States. I was like, wow, they got like all the players.
Yeah,
they have MVPs. They have former MVPs.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of the pitchers, but yeah,
because Wainwright was pitching. Yeah, the game I was watching. So that game in Miami was just packed.
Yeah.
See, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
It was crazy. And the games in Japan are packed.
Yeah, I can see that. I'd love, that's a bucket list for me. going to a Japanese baseball game.
You know, I was just talking about that with my buddy Dr. Pete. I said that's our next ski trip. I was like, spring Japan skiing, Japanese baseball, sushi, surfing, Japan.
Happy endings.
Sure.
Threw that in, right?
Which is also what you guys should, I mean, you should probably offer that to guys. They were offering that us in the 80s as well. So, Rick, I feel like you know a couple girls, Rick. Don't make them go to Queens for it.
Give us a ring.
Midtown, midday, mid-job, if you know what I mean.
Give us a ring if you've had a good happy ending story. 310-359-8365. That is our hotline. We did have a call about the World Baseball Classic, but, you know, we talked about it. I was shocked. We had a call about it. We had the call was, who do you think is going to win?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I think it's baseball, you know, so it's like it could go either way. When you play these, like when you play a one game quarterfinal, a one game semifinal. But I mean, I think the USA has like a pretty stacked lineup. Venezuela has a pretty stacked lineup. DR, obviously. Puerto Rico. It's probably the big four. Japan, though. Pitchers no one's seen.
Is that the top sport in Japan?
I have no idea. Sumo wrestling? I know it's big there.
Yeah. What are the rules in the sumo wrestling?
I think you just got to knock a guy out of the ring. I think it's like King of the Ring.
That's all it is?
I think so.
But like, it's crazy to think we brought them baseball, right? Like this is post-World War II.
Yeah.
Like I'm just right. Like that's what it is. It's the Americanization of Japan, right?
Yeah. Well, they didn't invent baseball. That's for sure.
No, but my point is like that to me is the bar to get like if baseball is like, hey, we brought this whole area, all these different areas of the world and like popularize it. Why can we not recreate the popularity within our own country that invented it?
Yeah.
Like that should be the motivation.
Anyway. Because we're idiots. The Major League Baseball is idiots. And they're, again, it all goes back to marketing. They keep trying to fix problems that we don't actually have. No one cares if baseball's too long.
Yeah.
There's so many other issues. But
we digress.
And by the way, I feel like we should take our time here with plugs because I, you know, the tweet from Randy Ruther was spot on within seconds of like when I see that text that comes up on the screen, this broadcast has ended. I will be opening Adam Schefter's Twitter to watch Aaron Rodgers gets traded.
Yeah. But you know, we discussed it. Like we already went into detail. If Rodgers goes there, what do we think?
Yeah. But how does it work? What's the deal? How, you know,
we're hedging our bets on that.
Yeah.
And he's going to go there.
Unless, of course, Jameis is traded there. Anyway, I'll be in San Luis Obispo at Sneaky Pete's on March 25th. I'll be in San Francisco or the Marin. I'll be at Throckmorton Theater April 18th, I believe, and then shows in San Francisco all around the Mets, Giants series up in San Francisco. JoePrano.com for all my shows. At Fix Your Life on Twitter. At JoePrano on all other things. At The Dirty Sports.
Did you mention his wish list, right? Aaron Rodgers?
No. What was his wish list?
Aaron Rodgers has provided the New York Jets with a wish list of free agents he would like them to target. It includes Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, and Odell Beckham.
Odell to the Jets. I mean, yeah, I didn't know that was a wish list. I just saw that they were talking to that there was like conversations going on. That's wild. This is a very weird play from him, right?
I think it's so weird.
Because you do all this stuff, and then if you don't win, then what? People are going to fucking hate you.
I'll just be curious how his
Just remember Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Fitzpatrick won 10 games. Jets fans think he stinks. So you got a high bar for a team that hasn't made a Super Bowl since color television.
I mean, this is your bet if he goes there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then he'll like shred his ACL game four or something. Knowing the Jets. I don't know. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the whole nine yards, at The Dirty Sports. We're posting stuff. So it's all up there. All the socials, YouTube, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's all the things.
Everywhere. MySpace, Friendster, Napster.
Friendster.
You name it. AOL, AIM. It's all up there. All right, guys, that's our show. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back on Thursday. Have a great week. And as always, stay dirty.